You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 117A, entitled The Gospel of John and the Other Three Gospels, 13 Lectures, translated by Dr. Katrine Binder. This is Lecture 4, given in Stockholm on the 7th of January, 1910. We have seen how complicated the personality charged with the task of allowing all previous spiritual streams to flow into a higher stream, into the world, had to be. Two children were called, the Solomon and the Nathan Jesus boy. We have seen how in their 12th year the strange occurrence took place that the Zarathustra eye transferred into the body of the Nathan boy. We have before us a Jesus boy who carries within himself the eye capital of Zoroaster and who bears in his astral body everything that the Buddha had become since his last incarnation, and who carries in his ether body that pure ether body which had been kept since that time before luciferic influences had made themselves felt, which have led human beings ever further down into the earthly world. Now might arise the following question. To what end was it necessary that two Jesus children were born? Would not one have been sufficient? Since it was an extract of all that had to be developed in the Hebrew people, and yet it was necessary for all characteristics to emerge in the body which Christ Jesus needed, the most diverse steps of human development had to be passed through. The Solomon boy had the most eminent of all possible perfect physical instruments. From physical birth to the 7th year, the human being produces the best characteristics of the physical body. Up to 14, the characteristics of the ether body. Then, up to about the 21st year, those of the astral body. Only then are the foremost characteristics of the eye developed. Human beings inherit from their ancestors what we have in the physical body and in the ether body, with the exception of the essence which is taken into the world of the Devakan after death. In this way, the Solomon boy was able only to inherit what could grow in the physical body and in the ether body. Up to the 12th year, the eye of the Zarathustra was situated in those outer limbs which are possible to obtain entirely through heredity. From the 12th year onward, the development of the astral body would have started. It is not inherited. It is attached to the individuality when still in the spiritual world. For the eye of the Zarathustra to develop in the most perfect astral body, he had to receive the most perfect. This required the experiences that the Buddha, who came from the spiritual civilization of India, that was turned away from the earthly, had gone through. If the eye of the Zarathustra had immediately incarnated into the Nathan Jesus, it would not have received the perfect physical and etheric body it needed, which not only had to take up everything inward, but also everything outward. This was only possible in the royal, not in the priestly line. After the Zarathustra eye had taken up everything that one experiences with such perfect instruments, it was in a position to experience everything that originates with a perfect etheric and astral body. It was able to develop all the most inward characteristics of the human being. Now he ripened to rise to an even higher, more perfect level. This took place through that event which is described as the baptism by John in the Jordan. What is this? To understand it, we have to discuss the mission of John the Baptist. Why had he been sent into the world? One has to stick to the idea that humanity goes through different epochs. There was an epoch in which inner revelation and inspiration ruled, most perfectly in the Indian people. The world was an illusion to them. Those who in this way came to an inner revelation were the most advanced human beings of their time. Everything developed very slowly. From two sides, we have seen, firstly, that human beings still had access to inspiration, but it was becoming ever more imperfect. This was the case with the Egyptians. Secondly, that a sense for the outer world gradually dawned in human beings, that the world is an external expression for the spirit. This is what Zarathustra had to teach the Persian people. This was his mission. This was the meaning of his sun doctrine. The Maya is the expression of spiritual beings. Human beings can apprehend spirit not only within, but also through the veil of outer illusion. The Zarathustra taught his people the doctrine of the light in this world. The mood of his doctrine was approximately this. Oh, human beings are still incomplete now in relation to our senses and our understanding, but we will develop gradually. The spiritual meaning of the world lies behind the illusion, and we will develop ourselves in such a way that this spirit will reach us. It was a doctrine of confidence, of hope in a light that was to appear in the world, that Zarathustra brought his people. Since Zarathustra was concerned with a special people, he was able to do this. There were two mass migrations. When the Atlantean catastrophe came, people started to move from the west to the east. Two migrations. One went through Europe over into Asia. Northern, Central, and Southern Europe were crossed from the northern migration in order for a part to stay here. A second migration went through Africa over to Asia. There were two migrations because they had different predispositions. The northern group of peoples were predisposed to develop understanding, reason, to look out. Those who migrated through Africa were predisposed to look more inward, to develop the forces of quiet contemplation, not to look into the outer world so much. The most eminent people of the northern migration was the ancient Persian where Zarathustra worked. The following mood was predominant in the African migration. Quote, "Even if you work very hard, you will not find the spirit in the outer world. It is cut up, only to be found after death." Close quote. Osiris. The two streams were to unite, the inner and the outer. The ancient Indian was the most perfect revelation from inside. The Egyptian was more imperfect, visions in the life of the soul. Persian, looking out. But one thing was characteristic of all human beings. They were not yet able to arrive at a perfect consciousness of the I, consciousness of self. They lived in the spirit when they dulled down their consciousness, when they dulled it down, gave it up. The Zarathustra people had to fall into ecstasy, had to give themselves up to lightning, thunder, the sun. Human beings became ready to unite the inner with the outer revelation only after a long evolution. The time when this became possible had arrived when John the Baptist and Christ Jesus appeared. Prior to this, there were no such human beings who were able to experience the revelation of the Spirit while maintaining the I, consciousness of self. How had human beings been before? They were able to say to themselves, "We can arrive at the Spirit, but we have to leave our best, our I. We have to give up all consciousness of our own self and be transported to another world. In our earthly human being, we cannot experience the heavenly kingdoms." John the Baptist was able to proclaim that the time had now come when human beings were to be able to experience the heavenly kingdoms while maintaining consciousness of their own selves, preserving their I. This was John's proclamation. "The kingdoms of heaven have come." How was he able to show that this was indeed so? If people had simply been told, "You are ready to step with your eye into the spiritual," they would not have understood. How was he able to teach them? Only by the John baptism. It consisted of a complete submersion in water. What happened? You know how it is when someone drowns. The ether body is withdrawn for a moment. In that moment, people become free of the shackles of the physical body. The fact that the inner human being is now ready to experience the spiritual while maintaining its I consciousness is expressed in the symbol of the Jordan baptism. What kind of people were baptized? The first who said, "Our I is now composed in such a way that it can rise gradually together with the consciousness of the self." And there is a gap in the transcript, readers aside, end of readers aside. There were some people who knew which hour the clock of the world had struck. And thus this small group was able to tell itself, in every human being there is an I center that can ascend. They knew this from experience. The greatest teachers might have taught this, but they would not have been understood. Prior to this, it was only possible to teach, if human beings give up their I, make themselves objective, they create the conditions to ascend. If you merge with the entire people, if you do not feel as an individual person, but are completely submerged in the folk I, if you tell yourselves this and feel, "I want to be one with Abraham," then you can hope to find the spiritual world through this self-abandonment. But it is not right to keep what was good for one epoch for another. John the Baptist now to teach differently. The element to ascend is to be found in the I. That was his new teaching. When the old teachers came, how did the Baptist address them? The conservatives, who wanted to procreate the ancient doctrines in astral submersion, the serpent symbol was always chosen for the astral. He said, "You confessors of the doctrine of serpents, why are you coming, you who do not want to acknowledge the hour on the world clock?" Now, the one came forth who carried in himself the eye of the Zarathustra, in the astral body, the Nirmanakaya of the Buddha, in the ether body, that which was uninfluenced by the Luciferic principle. Jesus came and let himself be baptized. He had submerged himself. Readers aside, there is a gap in the transcript, end of readers aside. Then the excellent, great, pure, ether body withdrew from the physical body. Everything that had lived in Gautama Buddha withdrew. The images of all that had preceded all that had been experienced stood before him. Jesus of Nazareth experienced everything that was within himself, all that had gradually moved into him. He saw everything within himself. That was the greatest of all earthly moments ever experienced. The ether body showed what would have happened to humanity if it had not descended to the Luciferic influences, the image of a perfectly pure human being. And what was shown in his astral body? That which the Gautama Buddha had experienced stood before his soul. The Gautama Buddha had looked back upon the entire earth evolution as an enlightened being. He had seen how human beings had become more materialistic with each incarnation. This is why Buddha was only able to contemplate that which can take human beings beyond physical incarnation. A doctrine of pain, everything is suffering. A doctrine of the liberation from the earthly body. He therefore gave directions in the doctrine of compassion and love to reach that which could save people. Freedom from suffering would have been reached, but earthly existence would have been lost for human beings. Buddhism is a religion of salvation. Christianity is a religion of resurrection. Nothing was to be lost. Everything was to be transferred to the spirit. You are to see yourselves as pupils, to bring everything into the spiritual world, to allow it to resurrect in a higher sense. A religion of raising from the dead and of resurrection is Christianity. Freedom from pain is the ultimate meaning of the Buddha. Transformation of pain into beatitude is the ultimate meaning of Christianity. We are to experience something in this world that we cannot experience anywhere else. It is our task to transform crude metal into the gold of the spirit. We will transform in this way if we conquer in us gradually what lives in us as the concept of pain. To conquer illness, overcoming gives us strength. Death is the strongest illusion, Maya, if everything deceives, if there is Maya in everything, then death is only a lie, only Maya. We approach the overcoming of death. Golgotha is the only place where death appears in its truth as a bringer of new life. We are separate from that which we love only in the realm of Maya. If one overcomes the world of the senses, the union is the more intense for it. It is impossible to remain separate from that which one loves when there is progress in the spirit. United with that which one does not love, one learns to love everything. Not achieving everything one desires, we can achieve such purified desires that physical obstacles do not appear in our path. This is the picture of the great progress from the doctrine of the Buddha to that of the Christ. We are not meant to escape from, to leave the world, but take it with us. The Buddha wants to save himself from the world. The Christ wants to save the world along with himself. In the Jordan, Jesus of Nazareth experienced the endless measure of pain which the Gautama Buddha had once taken on his soul. Jesus had to experience this. On the one hand, all the glory to which humanity is called was as an image before him. On the other, the suffering. He was able to say to himself, quote, "There is the image which comes from the pure ether body. Human beings have forfeited it to come into a physical body. That which is in the other picture is what the best have felt, the suffering, the pain for humanity." Close quote. In this way, this awareness was present in Jesus alone regarding the whole of humanity. What did he have to say to himself? It is impossible to ascend into the spiritual worlds with the consciousness that human beings have until now acquired. All of it must be given up, and something entirely new must be created, a new ether body leading to ever more perfect levels. For this end, it was necessary that what human beings had until then acquired was scattered the moment this consciousness ascended. All of this took place in this soul. How did the ether body and the astral body work the moment they returned? In such a way that they killed all these great feelings and ideas. They dissolved the physical body. It was too big for this physical body. Two things occurred. The eye of the Zarathustra belonged to this body. A new task had been given. The eye of Zarathustra left him, and a new eye, corresponding with this consciousness, moved in as a new, as the Christ eye, into a body that had begun a dying process, because the consciousness had become too big. The Christ consciousness moved into this body. With this we have touched on the mystery of the greatest moment of earth evolution. Behold the Lamb of God. John was able to say, quote, "Who has lived through all suffering of humanity in his soul?" Close quote. We have to designate this not only as a cosmic event, but also as a human event. This was the significant aspect of this soul, that it not only desired salvation, liberation, but that it decided to bring about a new era. It was a free decision in the soul of Christ Jesus to live through these 3 years. The significant aspect of this is that it was a free decision in this moment of the John baptism to take on the entire fate of humanity. The end of Lecture 4.